Good morning and welcome to Paddy Power Betfair Q1 interim update announcement. There will be a chance for questions later on in the call. I'd like to advise all parties this call is being recorded for replay purposes. And now I'd like to hand over to Breon Corcoran, CEO of PPB.
Good morning and thank you for joining the call. With me today is Alex Gersh, our CFO. This morning we released our 2017 Q1 trading update. At this stage, I guess you will have read the statement, so I'll briefly cover the highlights and then move on to questions. Overall, the first quarter was broadly in line with our expectations. While the year-on-year growth rates materially benefited from a much more favourable outcome for bookmakers at Cheltenham versus last year, overall sports results were marginally behind our expectations across the quarter. Online gaming growth remains disappointing. We continue to work on improving the performance, but at this stage, we can't forecast a quick fix. While all our key markets remain very competitive, we feel we are strategically well positioned to compete. The highly competitive nature of this industry may lead to a requirement for further increases in customer-focused investment. And this is why we continue to emphasize the importance of scale in achieving a low cost of service. Without scale, operators will find it difficult to achieve profitable growth in this competitive environment. We believe this now more than ever. A key focus for this year is on the integration of our technology platforms. This work is ongoing and we remain on track to complete the migration of Paddy Power customers onto the integrated platform by the end of the year. And Alex and I are now happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now begin. If you wish to ask a question, simply key star, then one on your telephone. If you decide to withdraw your question, simply key star, then two. All questions will be answered in order received, and you'll be advised when to ask your question. All other lines will remain on listen only. Just a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, for any questions, it's star, then one on your telephone. Okay, we've got a few questions for you, and the first question comes from Ed Young. Please go ahead, you're live in the call.
Hi guys, thanks very much for taking the questions. The first one, perhaps an obvious one, but just to get out of the way, on gaming, you've mentioned that it currently remains below expectations. Can you give any more colour on what you think it is that's preventing any kind of significant improvement or inflection there, or what you think the shape of that improvement might look like?
Well, the summary yet is that at this stage we're not giving a forecast as to what that looks like or when. I think in a little bit more detail, we've found a number of issues that we're not happy with in our offer. Some of those include user journeys, some of those include CRM, some of the promotional stuff that just apparently slipped or got broken over the last period of time. I think we need to tighten up some of our brand proposition for gaming as well. I'm happy that we're making progress in addressing the things we feel we need to do. I'm less happy with the momentum that's generating, and accordingly, we feel we still have work to do, and it's just too premature to say when that will be done. Obviously, we have almost no visibility into the competitive landscape, and this is a function of not just us doing the right thing, but also the competitive landscape. So we think it's wiser to be cautious at this stage, even though I'm happy that we are heading in the right direction in terms of improving some of the things that needed to be fixed.
Understood. Thank you. The second one's on the conversion margin. I mean, you've mentioned, you talk a lot about the kind of benefits of scale. I mean, the conversion margin was very strong. I think I make it about 67% in the quarter. There's clearly a benefit from synergies there, but there's also FX, which sort of distorts the picture. I'm just sort of trying to get a feel on a kind of, not on a quarter-by-quarter basis, but sort of going forward. Do you think a sort of conversion margin above 50%, sort of 50 to 60% remains kind of a reasonable expectation as you continue to leverage that scale?
I think you're right saying that the synergies and the FX sporting results, favorable sport results also have a disproportionate impact, which is why, because there are so many moving parts, it's absolutely impossible to say certainly, we don't target that conversion and we don't forecast it. All of those things do play a role. What we do focus on is, as Breon said, constantly decreasing the cost of service and trying to get the operating leverage, as the leverage of scale, continue to work on that. And that we continue to focus on. But it's very, very difficult to talk specifically about the conversion.
Understood. Okay. And finally, on Australia, I mean, Q1 was the toughest comp in terms of staking, but then also the drag from in-place should increase during the year. I just wondered if you could comment a little bit on what you think of expectations there and what kind of impact you think point of consumption in South Australia might affect in terms of presumably fairly minimal on directly on your performance, but also on the competitive landscape and how you think that might change if it was extended on a wider level.
Look, I think, Ed, I mean, you know, we're one quarter into the year. As you know, we don't give forecasts at this stage. We're greatly heartened by the progress the team in Australia made over the second half of last year. We think not just did they address their cost base, but they probably also addressed their competitive position in the market. So as and when point of consumption plays out in whatever form in Australia, we go back to we have a great digital brand. We have a very efficiently functioning business model, and we have considerable scale on our side. So, you know, there's news flow in Australia all the time about changes in advertising, in tax, and indeed the competitive landscape. And that just makes it, you know, even if we were happy to forecast at this early stage of the year, that makes it just unwise to forecast outcomes. But we're quite happy with the momentum in the business there.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. We have another question for you, and this one's from Patrick Coffey. Please go ahead. You're live in the call.
Yeah, hi guys. Two kind of elements to my questions, if that's okay. Firstly, within the online sports, the staking trends got a bit worse in March. Can you just talk us through why you've seen that slowdown? If it was to do with Cheltenham and, you know, punters losing money and not the recycling, that's sort of different from last year when we, you know, punters won money, but then you said they didn't have time to increase their recycling on Cheltenham. So could you maybe just talk us through the slowdown in March? And then also, have you seen any benefits from recycling in April? You talked about softer margins in April due to sports results, but are we seeing an improvement in staking trends in April? So colour on that would be great. And then the second thing is just on costs. Can you give us any indication whether there are any sort of funnies in terms of the spread of costs in Q1, so from a marketing perspective, and also whether you continue to take costs out of the Australian business in Q1? Thanks.
Oh, of course. Sorry, Patrick. On cost, there are no, I don't know, there's no funnies in Q1. It's you know, we continue to just focus on the operating leverage. So there's really nothing to highlight in Q1 in terms of one-offs or anything else.
April, Patrick, I mean, it's 30 days. We have a different Easter, timing of Easter this year from last year. Yeah, the top line momentum is a bit better, but we really don't want to get excited by that and extrapolate. We're absolutely not extrapolating from that. We remain, as we said, Q1 was broadly in line, but we remain kind of cautious in terms of outlook. Largely because, you know, we're only 30 something days since the end of the quarter. And Cheltenham is a slightly hard one to work out. A whole bunch of things happened. As you said, results were better than last year. That traditionally means less money in customers' pockets. Perhaps that hurts us at the top line. I think that, and we have more horse racing in our mix than many other bookmakers. That may be a charitable interpretation of what happened. It's equally plausible that some of the competitive offers available over Cheltenham and since that in the market have, to our minds, have a negative expected value and may well be hurting our top line as well, our turnover line as well. And, you know, I can touch on some of those if that's helpful. So we feel we're doing a lot of the basics right. We feel we're making progress. I think we have work to do in various parts of the business. We continue to highlight gaming as one of those. But we're cautious about the European top line, the European turnover line. And, you know, we'll talk about that more as we understand it a bit better. We do see in a number of markets very aggressive pricing behavior from some competitors, and we think that's possibly distorting the markets and distorting some customer behavior. And to shift gear, to shift geography for a second, the exchange in Italy is small and much easier to understand what's going on than the bigger exchange, the dot-com exchange. But when there is aggressive promotion activity from some operators in Europe, we see people, customers, backing that out into the exchange. And that makes us wonder whether we should be ferociously competing on some of the offers that are available in the market. On the other hand, if we don't ferociously compete, we worry about losing relevance. So we're trying to work our way through that, and we'll talk about it as we go.
Thank you. Thanks a lot for the colour. So just the kind of final question then, in terms of the market share growth, what do you think the market is growing at the moment, and how does that compare with your growth in Q1?
So as you know, I think we're the first company to report. Yep. And as you know, two material players in the UK market are private. So I really don't know. I've talked about the distortion about some of the price-led stuff. There's some debate internally about whether some of the multi-channel operators have changed their cross-sell strategy in the expectation of the FOB2 review. I think it'll be much easier to predict or to say what happened in Q1 when we've seen Ladbrokes Coral numbers and William Hill numbers, but that's obviously going to take a week or so.
Great. Thanks a lot. Cheers.
Thank you. We have another question for you. Apologies for pronunciation. This one's from Gavin Kelhar. Please go ahead. You're live in the call.
Morning, guys. Just two for me. One follow-up on Patrick's question. Just operating costs, 5% growth reported in Q1. Not asking for a forecast for the rest of the year, but just in terms of marketing costs, how should we think about that between now and the rest of the year? You do obviously have the tailwind from no Euros in Q2. Would you expect any major change in the operating cost line that we should think about for the remainder of the year?
So, Gavin, we don't give guidance at this stage, as you know. We have said in the past that we feel we're happy with the amount of marketing spend that we're spending. On the other hand, you know, we continue to challenge ourselves to see can we more efficiently spend money and can we broaden the reach of the brands by spending in places where we previously haven't spent. I guess what I'd like you to take away from the call is that the competitive nature of this industry right now, it's pretty extreme, you know. And if you think, for example, the US Masters, our Paddy Power brand offered 8 places. We thought we'd be unique in that, and that maybe Skybet might be the same. As it turns out, Skybet had slightly more generous place terms and 8 places, and William Hill and 365 also went 8 places. Now, these are brands, William Hill and 365 in particular, are brands that haven't competed in this way in the past. And that just gets us to a cautious place in terms of outlook, because you know, there's the markets that there seems to be some kind of state of flux in the market.
So okay.
What we have to remind our shareholders and indeed our competitors is that we've plenty of appetite to compete, and that accordingly we have to remain flexible or to retain flexibility in case more competitiveness is necessary. Now, we're very happy with how we're converting to profitability in the business. We have the resources to do that. But I think it's too early in the year to be giving any strike guidance on marketing spend, for instance.
Perfect. And just a small follow-up, not follow-up, but just a small one. Just the RGD increased tax in the UK, is that delayed from August 1st now? Can you confirm that? And when do you expect it to come in?
I don't have a date when it's expected to come in, but we understand from the Treasury that it won't be delayed and that it will be expected to come in at a similar time as originally planned. So this shouldn't be postponed because of the election.
Okay, perfect. Thanks, Emil.
Thank you. I have another question for you, and this one's from Richard Suber. Please go ahead. You're live in the call.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Just 3 quick ones for me, please. The first, I think you guided to 30 million of synergies this year. Could you just say how much you've delivered in the first quarter? The second question, just to follow up on the gaming softness. You mentioned beforehand it was a combination of cross-sell from Betfair, Paddy Power customer acquisition, and VIP. Is there any parts which are doing better than others? For example, has the VIP element improved in this quarter? And then finally, if you give us any metrics on how you're doing in Spain and Italy, please. Thank you.
The synergy was 15 million in the first quarter.
Richard, gaming. So look, I don't really want to say any more. than what we've staged. This is multifaceted. There's a bunch of things we're working on improving. There are some green shoots, but only a few. And we think this is going to take some time. So we're not guiding, for instance, that this is fixed in the immediate future. And I think when we feel that it's been addressed to our satisfaction, we'll tell you that that's the case, and we'll tell you what we've done. But that's ongoing. The competitive dynamic here matters as well, the emergence of some soft gaming brands. So we have some work to do there, and we'd rather talk about it when it's done as opposed to forecasts against a moving target. And Italy and Spain, encouraging, actually. Spain encouraging, but from a very low base. In Italy, we've had work to do on the Betfair product to make it basically broadly consistent with the Paddy Power product. That's done. And we've started migrating Paddy Power customers. We're at the early stage of migrating some Paddy Power customers to the Betfair tech stack, which I'm encouraged by. And the Betfair exchange in Italy is performing well as well. So there's a bunch of things going well here at the moment. We just remain a bit cautious about some of the stuff in the UK and Ireland.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have another question for you. This one's from David Jennings. Please go ahead. You're live in the call.
Morning, guys. Just one question for me. Just one, wondered if you could comment on your customer acquisition levels in Europe Online in Q1 and how they may have compared with your expectations going into the quarter.
Yeah, so David, it goes to my point about competitive behavior. It's harder than we thought it was going to be. And what's not entirely clear is whether we're being rational or whether we're not competing hard enough. We see new operators, or rather operators who haven't previously competed in this way, doing stuff with negative expected return. We see a lot of change in terms of how people are pricing and promotional behavior in the market. So undoubtedly it's tougher. I think you can take from that we're a little bit behind where we'd hope to be. We're working through that, including refining what we're offering and what we're not offering. And we'll see how it goes.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. We have another question for you. This one's from Ivor Jones. Please go ahead. You're live in the call.
Good morning. Apologies for going back to gaming, but can we talk about, I know you don't want to talk about timing, but can we talk about what improvement will look like? Particularly, I'm wondering if currently you think the product is substandard and therefore you are underinvesting in marketing in gaming, and you're going to fix the product, and then we're going to see a step up in marketing, and so we'll see less conversion to profit when the revenue line picks up. So it's part of the revenue problem in gaming that you're not putting enough marketing behind it.
I think Ivor, more than anyone, you'll forgive me for being slightly pedantic. I don't think I signaled that it was exclusively a product offer. I think I said that there's some stuff in terms of proposition. There's some stuff in terms of promotional stuff. There's probably some CRM in here as well, and there's some user journey. So I highlighted three or four things. I think the way we see this sequencing is there are a bunch of things that are in the process of being fixed. Many of those are already fixed, but there are some other ones to do. And there, think of them as customer journeys or landing pages or some of the basic promotional stuff. And that's underway, and I'm happy with, I'd like the pace to be a bit faster, but I'm happy that we know what we're doing there. We then may have to think about the actual broader proposition. And I referenced earlier the emergence of some of the softer gaming brands and how I think we can get into a kind of a market level of cross-sell for a sports-led business. But I think we also have to become a bit better than that. I think that will take some time. So this is, I really can't give you a forecast. It's frustrating that we're not getting there more quickly, but I'm happy that we're doing the right things. And I'm confident that at the very least we'll get to a moderate level of cross-sell, that a good sports operator would get to. And then I would hope after that we can sharpen our proposition for the gaming-only customers. But that's going to take some time.
I never see pedantry, Brian. I only see precision. But in relation to marketing, specifically in gaming, so currently are you under-investing to protect the profitability of that line?
No, not really. I mean, that obviously gets you to the place, would you expect more efficacy from the marketing spend if the product is a bit better. And obviously one would. But no, I don't think you should take that we're materially underinvesting. You know, you might go to a place where as the product gets better, the efficiency of the effectiveness of the marketing spend will improve. But, you know, we're not given any guidance on that at this stage. But I don't want you to come away from the call thinking that we've materially cut our marketing spend to try and make profitability whole or something like that.
Okay. And can I
just we need the brands. You know, we need the brand recognition and consideration to stay strong. So it's not like you can just switch off your brand spend and then come back to it in a number of months later.
Gotcha.
So you have to be present in the marketplace.
Brilliant, thank you. Can I just ask about sporting margin? You've commented on what was achieved, but could you just talk about whether you think on an underlying basis you're trading sports better, so that when we see normal sporting performance, whether we should expect to see a higher level of profitability?
Yeah, I think we haven't mentioned it on this call, we've mentioned it previously. I'm very proud of the work the risk and trading team do. And I think that, you know, it's been advantageous having put the two teams together over the last year. But fundamentally now, where we extract more value from pricing, we're predisposed to passing that back to the customer. So, you know, I wouldn't be forecasting that gross win margins expand over the industry, even for the very best operators.
To pass back, thank you. And last one. You have talked about the process of transferring Paddy Power to the Betfair technology stack. Do you think that the upside from doing so has changed since you first started speaking about that? So when we think about 2018 and the benefits of that process, what should we be thinking about?
Well, I talked about that specifically in the case of Italy. And, you know, the regulatory complexity of Italy requires a significant technology investment and, indeed, on an ongoing basis when changes have been made. So I think the simplicity and efficiency of having one tech stack is enormously clear to us. You know, as to whether the Paddy Power brand has proven quite resilient in Italy over the last year or so as we've got marketing spend there. But, you know, we've talked over the last number of calls about the cost of service and driving down the cost of service. We're absolutely adamant that this replatforming exercise allows us to build stuff more efficiently and more quickly and give a better proposition to our customers. So I don't think there's any doubt about that internally. It's frustrating. It takes some time.
That's great. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. We have another question for you, and this one's from Joe Thomas. Please go ahead. You're live in the call.
Morning. Apologies for this. I was slightly late on the call, but the first thing I noted down that you said, Brian, was that you might need to make some further increase in customer-focused investment. From what your answer was to Ivor's question just now, it doesn't sound like marketing costs will be going up further. So perhaps you can just give some sense of what that customer-focused investment might look like. That'll be the first question. And then beyond that, the exchange is still growing quite nicely. Is there any particular geographic slant to that, or any colour that you can add to what's driving that growth? And then finally, the cash number was strong. Would it be sensible to extrapolate the cash that you've generated in Q1 to the end of the year, or is there something else that we should be thinking about?
Good morning, Joe. I'll let Alex take the cash question at the end. No, the exchange is performing well. I think the team working on that have improved some of the UX and the propositional stuff. So I'm kind of happy with how that's going. There's no geographical thing to call out. No, nothing there. On the investment issue, I think there's two issues. They're somewhat related, but not completely. Ivor's question was about advertising for gaming, and I think the point is we continue to advertise the gaming products in part because we need the brands to remain recognized as being associated with gaming products. So we're not undercooking our marketing spend there. On the more general question of investment, you know, we think these are okay numbers, but they're not. You know, we prefer if they were stronger, right? And we have to protect, we have to allow for the scenario whereby we up customer-focused investment. You know, it's hard to see that we can do that in terms of product in the short term because of the replatforming. It's not obvious to me that we're going to do that necessarily in terms of marketing in the short term either, but we have to, as the, if this industry continues to be as competitive as it is, we have to protect ourselves or give ourselves the flexibility to increase investment. So that's not guidance that we necessarily plan to do that, but rather that, you know, we feel we have work to do to improve the quality of the business. And I think most people understand that if that requires investment, that's what we'll do. And as and when we get there, we'll explain that in more detail.
Would that be, are you thinking of some free bets or something there, or would that be marketing, or a combination of both?
It could be products, it could be, it's probably not pricing in terms of, I think our pricing is broadly okay. It could be product, it could be promotion, it could be marketing spend. I don't think any of those are, we're not actively considering any of those right now. However, we're watching this business carefully, and we may choose to do so.
Sure. Thanks.
And on the cash, well, the only thing you have to remember is at the end of May, we will pay a dividend after the AGM, and that will be at around 90 million or so, plus or minus a few.
Yeah, sure. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have another question for you, and it's from Patrick Coffey. Please go ahead. You're live in the call.
Yeah, hi, sorry for another one. Just very quickly, given the challenges that you're facing with the online gaming side of things, and given the strength of some smaller operators, would it make sense and be easier to kind of get to the end point by utilising your strong balance sheet and actually buying a company to improve your gaming proposition?
Yeah, so Patrick, obviously that may have occurred to us. You obviously don't expect me to comment on M&A on a call. I think as we see the sequencing, we will fix the stuff that we can fix. We'll see what that looks like. We'll think about our brands and whether our brands can stretch closer to where the gaming market is. It's entirely possible that that's changed a little bit over the last number of years. If we can fix it organically, great. If we can't fix it organically, then we look at inorganic solutions. But you know, it's you know, I can't really be drawn any more than that at this stage.
Thanks.
Thank you. I have no more questions for you.
Well, okay then, just to wrap up, thank you for joining us, and we remain available to people over the day if they have further questions. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining, and enjoy the rest of your day.